The Word of God is from Romans chapter 1, verses 11 to 15. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 to 15. Let us read these verses together. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Paul, while persecuting the church on the road to Damascus, he encountered the person of Jesus Christ, and he was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and he was used of God to found many churches. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 18, it says, I will not venture to speak of anything except that Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaim the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. So Paul speaks of how through the working of the Holy Spirit that he was made able to preach the gospel. And he goes on to say that except the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is nothing else for him to preach. And he also goes on to say that he made it his ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that he will not be building on someone else's foundation. And so his motivation and drive was that those who are not told about Jesus will see, and those who have not heard about Jesus Christ will understand. So such was the ministry of Apostle Paul. Here in Romans, even the church in Rome was not the church that he had founded, but he longed to see them, that he might impart to them some spiritual gift. So in verse 11, he expresses his desire to come to see them, that he might impart to them some spiritual gift to make them strong. And he goes on to say, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. In verse 13, it says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated, Paul goes on to say, both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. So we see that Paul desired to go to Rome, not merely out of his fleshly desire to see Rome, but for no other reason but to impart to the believers in Rome faith. The one who persecuted the church, now he is converted in desiring to share with the believers that he used to persecute the person of Jesus Christ to them. So his conversion was for sure, and now he could not abstain from preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. As we live in this world, we continue to live all the while moving towards the point of our death. And we live in the midst of suffering. We live in the reality of sin and death. We live while filled with worries and anxieties. And some may say that people are born into this world, and the worries and the anxieties of this life are inevitable. And people know that the problem of life cannot be answered and resolved by money, by wealth, by power, by fame of this world. But Apostle Paul, after encountering the Lord Jesus Christ, the exact person whom he worked so hard to persecute, now that Jesus Christ, who is resurrected, stands and calls upon Paul and says, "Saul, and Saul," and declares that he is the one that whom Paul of Saul was persecuting. And while his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, he realizes the young man that he did not trust in and believe in, the Lord Jesus Christ, was God himself, the Son of God. And now Jesus Christ became a reality in his life. And so at that point, his old life was set aside. His old life that he pursued in persecuting the church was set aside, but now he pursued after the Lord Jesus Christ. All this transformation, change in his life, the one who tried to kill Jesus, who tried to kill the believers, but upon his encounter with the person of Jesus Christ, the Lordship of Jesus, the reality of the person of Jesus Christ became true in his life. The truth of the gospel was revealed to Saul, and he was converted to be the follower of Jesus Christ. So from there on, he says, as we have read, that he would not build upon someone else's foundation, but that he would go to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. And as you are aware, when Peter preached during the Pentecost, there are thousands who were saved, and some Bible scholars suspect that some of those converted believers at Pentecost went to Rome and founded the church. And some even would go further and say that the church in Rome was the church founded by Peter. And some would say that it was church founded by the believers who were saved through the preaching of Peter. And so Apostle Paul heard of what was going on in Rome, and his heart was burning for the people, believers in Rome, that he might impart to them the gospel. So why was his heart burning for Rome? For what reason? Because he explains that for many times that he planned to be with them, but have been prevented from doing so until now. In Thessalonians, we read Apostle Paul explaining that it was Satan who prevented him from going to certain other churches, but in case of church in Rome, that was not the case. It was the sovereign will of God that kept him from being in Rome. But regardless of how he was kept from Rome, he shares that he sincerely desired to be with them, to go to Rome. For what reason? We read in verse 11, says, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong." And furthermore, he desired to go to Rome, that he might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And another reason was that he, just like had the harvest among the other Gentiles, he desires to have a harvest among the believers in Rome. So therefore, he earnestly wanted to be in Rome, that he might impart to them some spiritual gift to make them strong, and another reason for him to be encouraged by one another's faith. And furthermore, he wanted to be with them that there might be harvest among them. So those are the three reasons why Apostle Paul wanted to be in Rome. So he says that he wanted to be in Rome that he might impart to them some spiritual gifts. In original language, the spiritual gift is expressed in a word, key, which implies that it was some spiritual gift, some meaning that it was something that they were not clear about. Apostle Paul wanted to communicate to them that he wanted to impart to them spiritual gift that they were not familiar with yet, that they may be made strong. So it was a gift. It was a gift of grace that he wanted to impart to them. It was different than what the church today think of when we say spiritual gift. People often mistake that means some sort of gift that implies some gift such as speaking in tongue or some sort of charismatic gift. But here, when it speaks of spiritual gift, it is speaking of the gift of grace. It is speaking of being one with Christ, being united with Christ. When God gave his promise to Abram that he will have a son, and Abram, when he trusted and believed in God's promise, he was declared righteous. But despite of that, the actual son that God promised, the promised son, was not there yet. But what makes that gift of God, what makes that promise of God real, was faith. But it wasn't until when Abram was 100, when he was beyond the age of having any child, the promised son came. That was the conclusion of faith. That was the result of faith. God promised, therefore, it would become true. But however, simply by believing, it was an objective faith. He objectively believed in God based on the promise of God. But when Isaac came, it was no longer faith based on objective truth only. But when Isaac came, Abram's faith was both objective and subjective because he experienced the receiving of the promised son by then. So, Apostle Paul, when he speaks of imparting to the church in Rome some spiritual gift, he is speaking of the imparting of truth that teaches them about being one with Christ, being united with Christ. And it is the same for us, like the believers in Rome, that even though we know the gospel, oftentimes the truth we know and believe may not be a reality in your life because you continue to live as your own master and Lord of your life. Even though with your tongue you speak the truth and say that Jesus Christ came, lived, and died on your behalf, and you try to live a holy life on your own and you experience failure. But Apostle Paul here speaks of being united with Christ, that Christ dwelling in them becoming a reality in their lives. That is what Apostle Paul wants to impart to them. That is what he is referring to when he says that he desires to impart to them spiritual gift. Not merely the words that they believed in, but being dead in Christ and made into a new creation, united with Christ being a reality. That is what spiritual gift that is he is referring to. So that is what Apostle Paul wanted to impart to them, being united with Christ. And we see in Genesis chapter 1 how God created man in his own image. and in His likeness. That is what being united with God means. God created them female, male and female. And even in the creation of the male and female, God displays His truth being in union with God, that man and woman had to be in union together to procreate, thereby teaching us and picturing for us to the picture of the truth of the mankind's need to be united with God, the mankind being created according to God's likeness, His image. We were designed to be united with God. Then only when God dwells within us, then we, the mankind, has truly fulfilled the purpose, the goal for which God has made us. For divine God to be united with mankind. That was the ultimate purpose of God creating mankind. But Satan tempted mankind and thwarted that union with God. And from there on, mankind are born in sin and death. And ever since sin entered into mankind, regardless of what wealth, regardless of what fame or what power you have no means and no ways of stopping the impending death reserved for every mankind. So the mankind are born. They live, but they live in agony and anxiety. They live, but yet awaiting the impending and inevitable point of death that is awaiting for every mankind. And it is because the mankind has strayed away from their union with God and they have been unified with Satan himself. But God created mankind in His own image, in His own likeness. God desires to enter into mankind. God desires to be in union with mankind. And at that, in regards to that, what efforts are needed by mankind? Do we have to work? Do we have to strive to be in union with God? The only thing we are asked to do is to eat from the tree of life. And that is our innate nature, beloved. We have to partake. We have to eat something. And God designed for us to live only by living, only by eating from the tree of life. And we eat from the tree of life when Jesus Christ comes to us. And when Christ comes to us, you are made in union with Christ and your life changes and what comes out of you changes. But the reality is without Christ, without God dwelling within us, our life is a tragic story. And it was the work of Satan that came and thwarted God's plan for mankind. But God would not be defeated. God sent His Son, the tree of life, onto this earth, the person of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth, He died and rose again, and in that is found the truth. It does not teach mankind to do something to be saved, but God came and died and rose again. The mankind without any works, all that the mankind has to do is to believe through faith and be saved. But many churches are corrupt these days and they teach the false gospel and teach people to do works in order to be saved. They say that are you not a sinner and therefore you must make yourself righteous. But the question is, how can you, a sinner, make yourself righteous? The problem is the mankind cannot make themselves righteous, and therefore that is the reason why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins. So instead of preaching and teaching people to believe in the gospel, many churches that are corrupt are teaching people to do works in order to be saved. And oftentimes people in their false gospel are not sure of their salvation. Perhaps that they think they're judgment of their salvation will be decided at the point when they face God themselves. But Apostle Paul wants to impart this gospel of eternal life to the church in Rome. So when Apostle Paul says he wants to see them that he might impart to them some spiritual gift, he's referring to the fact that they do not have the knowledge of this truth. So he wanted to impart to them the truth of being united with Christ, that the church of God may be strong. He's not talking about spiritual gift in regards to healing people, speaking in tongues, some sort of charismatic gift, but he is speaking about the spiritual gift of being united with Christ. So as we look into the passage this morning, we also ought to be mindful of the background story here. Why is Apostle Paul so longing to go to Rome? What's the background story here? Why does he even go on to say that he's obligated, both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish, that he says he's obligated to the people in Rome to preach the gospel? And the answer will be found in Paul's faith. When Jesus Christ was walking on the earth, all of his apostles, Peter, John, and James, those apostles were walking with Jesus. But Apostle Paul was not one of them. He was not one of the apostles who physically were with Jesus, walking with Jesus. He could not be counted among them because at that time Saul was chasing after the believers to persecute and kill. At that time, the 12 disciples were all fishermen, tax collectors, unlearned. Such were the disciples of Jesus Christ. Such were the people that Jesus, as he was walking among the people that he called to be his disciples. So that is why that when the power of God was displayed through his disciples and among his disciples, people surrounding them were astonished as Jesus fed the 5,000, as Jesus calmed the storm. People started asking, who is this man who even calms the storm? So the ones who were walking with Jesus Christ in person, they followed Jesus, they witnessed the miracles, and they believe in Jesus because of what they've seen, but their faith was not one that is of a mature faith. But Apostle Paul was a Judaizer, he was a law keeper, he was a Pharisee, he was one who was a devout keeper of the law. And so he even thought that to persecute the church and to catch them and to kill them and to punish them, he thought that was being faithful to the law of God. God gave the Jews 10 commandments. Jews were so fervent, they split that law into 613 regulations. And at the forefront of their effort to keep the law of God was Saul. And Saul, in trying to keep every facet of the Jewish law, came to experience the agony and the inability of the mankind to truly keep the law of God. And all the while doing that, Saul encountered the person of Jesus Christ. Saul, who knew the law, he encountered the person of Jesus Christ. And when he encountered the person of Jesus Christ, he was made aware of the full breadth, the extent of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul, when he was saved, he wasn't interested in joining the rest of the disciples to make a name for himself, but he went to the wilderness to spend extended amount of time with the Spirit of Christ. And after that extended time with Christ, then he went to see the apostles, disciples, and even encountering Peter, he faced Peter and he spoke against Peter. And even the disciples, when they encounter Apostle Paul, they came and asked Paul about the truth, the gospel, that appeared to be difficult to them. So we see that Apostle Paul, after going through the law keeping, after encountering the person of Jesus Christ, he had a very deep knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is why we see in the New Testament scriptures, Apostle Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament scriptures. He came to know more in a deeper and deeper way who Jesus Christ is. And that was not the case for even Apostle Peter. So Apostle Paul knew that despite the fact he was not among the 12 disciples, that God had called him to be his apostle, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So Paul, among all of the Lord's disciples, apostles, he was one who had a significant impact on the preaching of the gospels among the churches of Jesus Christ. So Rome at that time was a city that was a center of commerce, center of culture at that time. So Apostle Paul wanted to go there that he might make the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way of the cross, to be made known to the people there. And so besides that, even for us, there is no other purpose and goal worthwhile for us to live our life for. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth that makes you and I strong, perfect. Gospel is what makes the mankind complete, because through the gospel, God is now united with mankind, and the mankind is united with God. And this Apostle Paul saw that the believers in the church in Rome lacked. And so therefore, that is why in verse 11, he says he longed to see them so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, the gift of being united with Christ. And we see that all throughout the verses in verse 10 through 15, how he longed to go there, how in multiple occasions he made attempts to go there, but he was prevented from doing so. But the sad thing is that even today, if you do not come to experience this spiritual gift of being united with Christ, you would only be going around circles, going around the churches without truly coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God created mankind, God created our body, and he gave our soul, and within that body and soul, he gave his Spirit. And what is of most importance of what we are made of is our spirit. And our spirit is the dwelling place of God. So God created mankind, our body first, then our soul, and then our spirit. But what God created was corrupt because of sin. What God created was put to death through sin. Our spirit died when we sin, and therefore what remained is our soul and our body without our spirit living. So God created mankind the second time through his Son Jesus Christ to give us life again. When he created us again for the second time, he creates not the body first, but our spirit first. The mankind that has been corrupt And when God works to give us life again, He gives us our spirit. He enlivens our spirit first. And when the spirit lives, the spirit controls our soul. And when our spirit and soul are made alive, then our spirit and our soul takes control of our body. And the perfection, the recreation of our body will be made possible when at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ became a man, came to this earth and lived and died on the cross and rose again. And when we believe in that truth, our spirit is made alive. And as our spirit lives, our soul is revived and our body is resurrected and made into a perfect eternal body when Jesus Christ returns. So when you go out and evangelize, do not simply tell people to stop sinning. Do not tell people to simply stop smoking, stop doing this and that, instead of preaching to them the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. People are mistaken to think that we must clean up our lives before we receive Jesus. But the first order of all things is for us to receive the cross of Jesus Christ. When we receive what Christ has done on the cross, then our spirit becomes alive again. How can a sinner like you and I be able to make our spirit and our soul live again? And that is why the person of Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross to give our spirit life again. And so therefore your prayer must be that you must pray that God will open up your eyes and ears to see the truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He would give your life, He would make your spirit live again, that God will grant you faith to enliven your spirit. And once your spirit comes alive, then your soul will come alive again, and at the second coming of Jesus Christ, our physical body even will be made perfect. So all of this must begin at the cross of Jesus Christ. All of this must begin with the realm of our spirit. But that is not the case for the earthly man. The earthly man always wants to begin with their flesh, with their soul. And that is the work of the religion. That's what the religions teach people. Teach people to change their outer ways that they may be blessed. Instead of teaching them to be changed with them, they teach people to change in their behaviors only. And with such teaching, all that the religious people will pray is that God will answer their physical needs, that God will make their families happy, that God will give them health, that God will give them wealth and fame of this world. But the reality is, God will not answer such prayer. Instead, God's truth is that if you want to earn wealth, then you need to go and work instead of just coming to God and praying for His material blessings. God's desire is that your spirit will live first. That God's desire is that you will seek His kingdom first instead of what you would eat, drink, or wear. And the mankind, the earthly man, follows the same pattern when they read the scriptures. When they read the Bible, they read and interpret from their fleshly perspective, and they see the scripture as a means of receiving materialistic blessings. The Israelites think that they have to build the physical temple of God for them to be blessed. And that false teaching has come down to the churches today, where the church think that they have to build a fancy, great, magnificent church building to be blessed by God. But the truth is that God has created you, your spirit, to be the temple of God. So the false religion, including many corrupt churches, teach that you have to build this magnificent church building to be blessed by God. Instead, the truth is that God does not desire a temple built by man's hand. And many churches, even today, are pursuing after collecting all this money to build a fancy church building. And such truth and such teaching is not found in the scriptures. And so even reading the scriptures, the mankind interprets the truth in the scriptures from their fleshly point of view, and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ only remains as a theoretical knowledge. And they turn the truth of the scriptures into merely the doctrine of a religion. And they merely focus on the outer behaviors. They discipline people. They accuse people of being sinners. And that is what they focus on from their fleshly point of view. They do not realize that if their spiritual problem is resolved, then their outer problems will follow. And from the spiritual point of view, even when you fall ill physically, you begin to see and seek God's will in that. And in Texas, I know of a church, their housing prices are much lower than here. I hear that if you pay half of what you pay you would out here, you would be able to afford a mansion. And I know of this church, the pastor of that church, where he has a mansion worth over several million dollars. And one thing that pastor stresses the most, and he teaches people to have hope, to have positive thinking. And that's what his teaching is based on, positive thinking, positive outlook on life. And beloved, if the Spirit is truly living within him and working within that church, would that really be true? That a pastor living in a multi-million dollar mansion while his followers are suffering in the midst of financial crisis? And we see that not just in the States, we see that in Korea as well. There are many mega churches where such materialistic pursuit is what they're after. And so, beloved, the focus, the attention of a religion, a religious church, is materialistic things. And so the measure of the blessings that they see in their life is based on the measure of how much materialistic things that they have. And such false judgment is made because of their false religion. And when Jesus came, he noticed Jesus went seeking after the sinners, the people that the religion rejected, the people that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law rejected. In fact, Jesus rejected the Pharisees and the religious leaders and said that he came to seek and save the lost. And so the sinners and the ones that were rejected by the worldly religion were the ones Jesus received. And I just gave you some examples of people involved in religion. And we must, beloved, break ourselves out of our tendency to seek religion, our tendency to build a physical temple, physical church. And it is difficult for the earthly man to abandon our pursuit of our own religion. Beloved, religion is so befitting the corrupt man, because corrupt man has eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thinking that they may be God themselves. The mankind ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil to make themselves like a God. So their innate nature is for them to seek to be first in everything, seek to be their own master, seek to be their own God, acting like God in themselves. And therefore, whatever they do, they have to trust themselves. They have to work hard. they have to work hard to keep the law, and that has, if that is solidified in your life, you become one that is religious. You become one who will have such difficulty receiving the simple gospel, even in knowing the contents of the gospel. Even with your head, you may understand the gospel, but you will not be able to believe the gospel. Can such earthly man believe that Jesus came and died and rose again in 3 days for our sins? Such fleshly earthly man may know these facts, but they will not be able to believe. Earthly man may know the truth of death and resurrection, but the truth of the gospel, that when Jesus Christ and died and rose again, that it requires us to believe through faith. And you may know these truths, but you on your own flesh can never be able to believe on your own, because you cannot turn to any experience that you have. You never died with Christ. You never rose with Christ. You never seen Christ die and rose again. Therefore, you on your own are utterly unable to believe. So therefore, beloved, you must focus on the core truth of the gospel when you witness to other people, when you evangelize to other people. You must focus on the fact that in Christ you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That in Christ all of your life's problems and issues have been resolved. And through the Holy Spirit, when you are made able to believe, the more you come away from law keeping in regards to your salvation, the more you will be free from your bondage to sin and religion. Once the Holy Spirit begins to work in your heart, you begin to believe that in Christ the work of salvation was completed. And you begin to pray that what Christ has done will be a reality in your life. So, beloved, you must continue seeking to have that faith to be able to believe. And when you are made able to believe, then you would be convinced that the work of salvation has been done, completed through Christ. So from there on, regardless of what sufferings come, you are immovable. And that is why Apostle Paul, after being united with Christ, he encourages the believers to pray continuously and rejoice always and pray without ceasing. An analogy would be an automobile. If the automobile has a good working suspension, regardless of what bumps are on the road, as you drive that car, you will be comfortable. Even though the wheels are popping up and down and the suspension is working, you driving the car inside will hardly feel the bumps on the road. That is the way that it works in your life. As Christ is living within you and you are united with Christ, you are immovable by the events of life, by the sufferings of life, by the temptations of life. And in the past, you may have been tempted to do certain things that you know was not pleasing to the Lord. But once Christ begins to live in you, then you are no longer affected by the pull of those temptations. So once Christ begins to dwell within you, He empowers you, He enables you to live in the midst of life suffering. So that's the truth that Apostle Paul wants to impart to the believers. That's what he's referring to as the some spiritual truth gift that he wants to impart to them. So all the spiritual truth is explained to us in the past tenses, where it has been done already. It has been made possible for us already. So you must know that, beloved, the worldly people are entrenched in their religious tendencies. They are entrenched in their own selfish thinking, and it is impossible for them to break their ways. But as you begin to hear the gospel, God will begin to work in your hearts, and through the gospel, He will begin to break you loose from the bondage to the law. And I remember when I was entrenched in law keeping, I could not even pray comfortably sitting on a chair because I felt like God was judging me, and I had to go to the lowest part of the church, kneel myself down and pray, and I felt like that was the only way that God will answer my prayer. Such was how religious I was. And such tendencies are hard to break, such religious tendencies. And you have people who are so religious that if they miss a day of early morning prayer, that something bad will happen to them. The beloved, all of those are idol worshiping. All those are mystical religious worship. But beloved, the gospel says that we are absolutely, utterly unable to save ourselves. And the only thing that saves us is the grace of God. So in the days when Jesus was walking on earth, it was the sinners. It was the people who were seen as sinners. They were the ones being saved. All the religious leaders, all the religious people would not trust in Jesus because of their own righteousness. And it is the same even today. If you are so entrenched in your own righteousness, in your own works, in your own religious deeds, you will not be able to receive Christ. So, beloved, you must depart from religion. Then you will begin to see Jesus. Then you will begin to come to know Jesus. So in our main text this morning, we see that the reason that Apostle Paul desired to be in Rome is because he experienced this spiritual gift of being united with Christ. And again, there are so many that are misled to think this spiritual gift is about some sort of charismatic gift. And I remember there was a person in the early days of our church. This guy showed up claiming that his spiritual eyes are open to be able to see with their own eyes, the spiritual eyes, to be able to distinguish the spiritual conditions of people. And he even claimed that he read at least 30-35 pages of scripture every day. Such was the religious works that he himself was entrenched in. And not only this person that I gave an example of, there are many today who are entrenched in their religious works without coming to know the person of Jesus Christ. In some instances that God will give the gift of tongue, God will give a gift of healing, although there are many false teachers who claim to have such gift. And even if God is granting those spiritual gifts to heal and to speak in tongue and such, if you are just pursuing after such outward looking spiritual gift, then there is a good chance that you will fall into false religion. But the spiritual gift that you must pursue after and seek is to be united with Christ so that your faith will be made strong. Whether you are living or dying, our faith is based on the cross of Jesus Christ. Not only your faith is made strong, but as we fellowship, we are encouraged as we share with one another based on our faith in Christ. So with our eyes, we may like miracles and great works, but we must not remain in pursuing just those things, but we must pursue the sign of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was asked to show the sign, to show the world that He is the Son of God, Jesus told them, The sign that he is the Messiah is the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jesus Christ is the sign of Jonah. What is that? That is the dying, death, and resurrection. Just as Jonah went into the whale and came out of it alive, that is a sign of Jonah pointing to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is where we must go. That must be our foundation of our life. That must be the foundation of who we are. The fact that Jesus Christ came and died and rose again. If Jesus Christ is living within us, regardless of how much sufferings come, regardless of how gravely we are ill. So, beloved, Christian faith must remain on the person of Jesus Christ, not on the works of mankind. So, Apostle Paul, unlike any others, he desired to be in Rome, to give them this truth of being united with Christ, that their faith might be made strong. And not only that, that as they come together and that they might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And beloved, we should experience that in our fellowship as well. Even in the midst of our difficult circumstances, as we come together and share the gospel with one another, we are encouraged. And not only being encouraged, that in the midst of all among us, that there will be harvest. And in John, it says, if I remain in you and you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. The fact that Christ says, I in you, meaning that on the cross, that he has finished the work of his salvation. That is what it means for Christ to be in us, that he will come in and be our Lord. And when he resides in us as our Savior and Lord, that we can't help but to bear fruit for Christ, because he is the one who created us, and now he resides within us. Christ, who is all in us, all in all, resides in us. And such is the lofty design of God in creating mankind, that we might be the dwelling place for God. So, beloved, the truth of the gospel is not far from us. It is so close to us. It is so relevant to us. Whether you think the gospel is far or close to you, please know that God desires that Jesus be in us and we in Christ. And he continues his invitation, knocking on our door to come in and to eat with us. And so Apostle Paul, who has received this great truth of the gospel, he considers himself as one who is obligated, one who is indebted to them to preach the gospel. And so for Apostle Paul, that has become a goal, that has become a purpose in his life, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. So, beloved, it does not matter whether you are a pastor or layman, whether you are a man or a woman, whether you are an adult or a child. Once we receive the person of Jesus Christ, we all become indebted to those around us. And I pray such will be the blessings that come upon each and every one of us. And such Jesus he used to persecute. Such believers he used to persecute. And such sinner, God saved him. We see in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. It says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. These were not just merely about Apostle Paul, but also given to us. And also in Acts 20:24, it says, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Beloved, this is the testimony of Apostle Paul, and I pray that this will also become our testimony as well, that we will consider ourselves as debtors to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Beloved, God has created you as a mankind to be united with Jesus Christ and to display the glory of Jesus Christ through our lives. That's what it means for us to have been created according to His image, according to His likeness. Let us pray. Father, we have meditated upon Your word this morning. Paul desired to be with the believers in Rome to impart to them some spiritual truth of being united with Christ, that their faith may be made strong, that they will be encouraged, that they may bear harvest for You. And I pray such will be the faith that we have. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.